Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kedamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasade Gauravata Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. Jai, you shut the door in the back? Okay. So, I told you that before the last job that I had before I came to Krishna consciousness is I was a sports coach in a high school. So, everything can be used in Krishna's service. So, I make strategies, but the strategy here is how to... No problem. The strategy here is to teach this subject to you, and not just teach it to you theoretically, but to present it in such a way that you can apply it in your life. And it's a very, very practical and brilliant book. We named it, what, the 11 core verses of the practices of bhakti. And you can see it's very, very systematic, written in beautiful poetry. What I'm trying to do is not just to explain to you things that can be read in the book, but to try to realize in myself and communicate them to you in a way that you can deeply understand them. Because, you know, there's so many analogies, there's so many verses, and some courses that you have, you just learn the analogies and the verses and what are the points, and that's fine. But I really want to get to the essence of each verse. I really want to get to the essence of each verse. And I really want to, in the class itself, really explain the subject matter so deeply that just by coming to the classes itself, you'll be able to incorporate and understand the subject matter. So my strategy for today is we're going to chant the fourth verse. We'll chant the first four verses. We'll chant it responsively in the Sanskrit and the English. And then I'm going to go over quickly verse 3. Today is verse 4. Because it's always good to revise something and go over it. In fact, when I was looking at these verses, I thought that I could probably teach one verse for all 11 classes. Because each time you read it, there's deeper and deeper realizations, and there's a limit to how far you can go. So let's just chant the verse first. Okay, the first one. You got it up there, Rati? I'll say it in response. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam. Jiva vegam udara pasta vegam.
Jiva vegam udara pasta
Etan vegan yo vishahete dira.
Etan vegan yo vishahete dira.
Sarvam api mam prithivim sashishat.
Sarvam api mam prithivim sashishat.
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Text 2. Atyahara payashascha.
Atyahara payashascha.
Pajalpo niyamagraha.
Pajalpo niyamagraha.
Janasangascha loyamcha. Sadbir bhaktir vinashyate.
Sadbir bhaktir vinashyate.
One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. Utsaha nishtya dharyat.
Utsaha nishtya dharyat.
Tatat karma pavartanat.
Tatat karma pavartanat.
Sangatyagat sito vrite.
Sangatyagat sito vrite.
Shabir bhakti prasidyati.
Shabir bhakti prasidyati.
There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Satyahari, your chair is waiting. Okay? Class is not complete unless you're here, actually. One, being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering. 5. Abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6. Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. Now, today's text. Dadati pratigrinati.
Dadati pratigrinati.
Guyam akyati pritchati.
Guyam akyati pritchati.
Bhunte bojiate chaiva.
Bhunte bojiate chaiva.
Shadvidham pratilakshanam.
Shadvidham pratilakshanam.
Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. What we're going to do is we're going to go back to the 3rd verse. I'm going to go over all the PowerPoints quickly, probably take a half hour, just to revise that subject again. And because I took so much time elaborately discussing the first 2 or 3 items, you really didn't discuss the first 3 items. But just a question, just what came up on the verse we said. It said, giving prasad, accepting prasad, giving charity, accepting charity. These are favorable for devotional service. I'm just going to skip ahead to that, just an interesting point, which I was thinking about deeply. How is it? I can see giving prasad being favorable devotional service and giving gifts, but how is accepting?
When you accept something, you're allowing someone else to give to you. You're giving the devotee a chance to serve.
Okay, that's an interesting thing. You're giving someone a chance to serve.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. In fact, in one purport, in one commentary, it's an interesting story, but Brahma is the creator of the universe and of this universe. And it's so vast that his son is Narada Muni, who's the great saint. And his son is thinking that maybe he's God because he's just so vast. So he said, you look like you're God, but I have a doubt. Because you're so, he describes how vast it is. You have the whole universe. I got the whole world in my hand. Yeah, good song. Like you have like a walnut, and you're so powerful. But you're performing austerity. So I have the doubt because you perform austerities to get something that you're lacking. So then he says, well, who is God? So are you God? And then Brahma is so happy. He said, thank you. And then he said, Narayana Paro Veda, Narayana Paro Tap, famous. Narayan is the essence of this. Narayan is the essence of that. Narayan. And Prabhupada in the purport said the basic principle of teaching and preaching is your gratitude for people who give you an opportunity to do that. But that's not the answer I wanted. Gail? Yeah. That's also, it's a similar answer. But also, in the cultivation of humility, and devotional service, it's just like the mood of love. This is from Rasa Shastra, the scientific books about what actually is love. In the mood of love, the love for a servant or a junior or a child to the master, the mood is, you are my maintainer. That's the mood. If you look at a child, what's the love for the mother? You're my maintainer. You're provided. That's the mood of love. So in relationship devotional service, when things come, your idea is that they belong to God and you're getting them as his mercy. So you're accepting them as his mercy, and that acceptance is a recognition. It's a love. It's an expression of gratitude and appreciation. And really what ultimately bhakti is the remembrance of the divine, which energizes your heart in love. So in that mood, accepting. We're going to talk about this. It's very interesting in terms. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when a disciple had the prasad of Lord Jagannath. How many people have been here to Puri with me? Janine was. Okay, a few were. It's so special, the prasad from that temple. Right, we had the most learned scholar practically in the world now in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Dr. Fakir Mohan, practically in the world. I asked him to speak about the holy name, and he spoke for 2 hours. He spoke for 2 hours about Jagannath Prasad. He said, eat as much as you want, fall asleep, it's all good. He had so much, because he's from there, he had so much. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when a disciple had the prasad, the mercy of the Lord, he would circumambulate his disciple who was holding the prasad. So it's really bhakti is that mood. Bhakti can be expressed in doing things, in speaking things, or in feeling things. So when you're getting that mercy, you're really offering your love. You're honoring how great God is. And you're having that recognition, isavasyam idam sarvam, that everything belongs to God. Everything inanimate and animate belongs to God. And we accept things as his remnants, as his prasad, as his mercy. So we're going to discuss that today, these six items. It's very fascinating how to create the channels of love, not just in your meditation, but in your life and in your dealings. So now let's go over. Okay, Rati, that verse. Back one. Yeah, Utsahan. So these are the precidity. These are the six principles favorable for bhakti. So remember, I'm going to discuss them, and I'm going to try to limit myself to a half hour, and then spend an hour, and you know, the rest of the time on the text four, which it's wonderful. So, so I didn't do it in the order of the verse. I did it in the order of the prominence that Prabhupada gave to them in the purport. So let's go to the next one. Tat-tat karma pavartanat. This means to discipline yourself, to follow the practices of devotional service. That's one of the things that are obligated. And and these are the things that come down from the great teachers. And the basic principle of bhakti is to think of Krishna and never forget him. Because remember, every object of devotion, every act of devotion, everything has a shakti or a potency. Objects and acts of devotion have a bhakti shakti. So when somehow or other you have faith, which means you become receptive to these things, the receptivity allows them to affect your heart. And that's how the practice of bhakti works. So the receptivity has two real aspects. One is your faith, and one is your, and or is your belief. This is good. And another one is your attraction. So the way bhakti is, it said the main principle is to think of Krishna and never forget him. And that the teacher devises the ways and means for the disciple or student to do it. So there's many, many ways to do it. And there's no hard and fast rule. What works for you? You're a person with different proclivities, a person with different tastes. However you open your heart and make it receptive to God. So remember we said Rupa Goswami, he went through all the sacred texts and he listed 64 items, 64 various ways where the mind, body, and words can turn their consciousness to God and experience the awakening of the soul, which is called Shraddha, or faith, or the seed of devotion. And we studied that in the Nectar of Devotion class last year. I went over the 64 items, and he had 10 that were most important, 10 things that you do, and then 10 things that you don't were important. And then there were different items of mostly connected with worshiping the deity, how all the senses can be used to remember God. And then he ended up with 5 items that were more potent than others. Then in the Bhagavatam, the next verse, there's a particular reference where there were 9 main items of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, chanting, hearing, remembering, humble service, worship of the deity, prayers, the mood of becoming a servant, the mood of becoming a friend, and Atmanivedanam, the mood of giving everything. So, of these, and I'm giving a brief summary of it. And by the way, if you study these, each one of them has an exemplar. Welcome. What's your name? Danielle. Coming. Are you coming to the class? Yeah. Good. Okay, good. Were you, because Kastuba told me he met someone yesterday. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, welcome. Please welcome. Come to the class. Thank you. Good. No. I was expecting you. He called me today and he said that you came to the Gita class yesterday. Okay. Okay. So, so each of these items has an exemplar. An exemplar of hearing is Maharaj Prickett, right? So again, bhakti, every object has a shakti or a potency. The way bhakti works is when you're receptive by your faith and your attraction to focus your mind some way or another on God and his various manifestations and the various practices to do so, then it affects your soul. And Shraddha, or faith, is not just a mental thing. It's the awakening of the soul. It's the nature of the soul. The soul is consciousness which reaches its fruition in love. So the awakening of that spirit, it's so natural within the heart. Actually, the term dharma means duty, but it really means essence. Essence means the quality which you cannot take away from something. So the essence of water is liquidity. The essence of sugar is sweetness. Our essence is to serve. And bhakti means to awaken that spirit to the point of love. Because the real service is love. Not just an action, but an action with a feeling. And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is best expressed in seva, which means loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculties of the mind, body, and words. So these are the ways that is listening. The six core... The six practices that are favorable for devotional service. So this one is discipline or obligation to those principles of bhakti. So here we had 64, 9. Then we have of those 9. Well then, of those, 3 are most powerful. Shravanam, Kirtam, Vishnu, Smaranam. To chant, hear, and remember. Of those, kirtan is the most powerful. And of kirtan, what's the most powerful kirtan? The most absorbing kirtan? What?
Sankirtan.
That's true, but it's not the answer I wanted. The most powerful is not only doing kirtan, not only chanting, but chanting the names of your beloved Lord. That's why, Bobby, when we're in Prema Yoga and Raghunath's chanting those songs, it's not just kirtan, it's not just the chanting the name, but of the beloved Lord, of the form of God who you have some attraction for. And that really creates the most powerful absorption to actually affect your heart. Right? Radha Krishna Prana Mora Yugala Kishora Jivane Marani Gati Aro Nahi Mor Kulindira Kuli Keli Kandamberavan Ratana Bedira Upa Bosa Bodujana. So also when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, God is one, he manifests in many ways, but we have an Ishtadev, a particular form which we have a relationship with, and to chant those names. Now also, the next verse, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says, really, there are five items that are most powerful. They're also listed. These items are the most powerful. And how powerful are they? They're so powerful that even someone who's a neophyte, one who doesn't have much attraction, if he practices them in a humble way, they'll have a tremendous effect on the heart. And they can achieve actually bhava, which is mature attraction. Okay, the next verse. And the important thing in the process of bhakti, this is the main definition of bhakti, but the important thing in the practice of bhakti is not just the activity, but the consciousness that it's done selflessly. So what this verse says, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakta Uttama, the topmost bhakti, Anukulyena, it's done with a mood to please Krishna, God. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam, Krishna, and Krishna is not a limited concept. The concept of God includes his parts and parcels and his differentiated energies. Anu, they follow. They follow God. They follow that will. So Krishnanu Shilanam, and Shilanam means it's not just a meditation, but Shilanam means with your mind, with your body, with your words, you follow. And how do you follow? What is the will of God? The will of God is the sacred texts. And what is a guru or a teacher is one who knows those sacred texts. So when you follow the teacher, you follow the will you please. And that creates a certain offering or energy that goes up to the divine. And because Krishna is responsive, then the reciprocation, a certain energy comes down. And that energy that's coming down is also bhakti. It's the water to the plant that makes it grow. Okay. Anyway, this is kind of the same point. So that's tat-tat karma pavartanat. The first thing that's favorable is the discipline of following the practices that awaken devotion in your heart. Okay, now the next thing, this is utsahan, enthusiasm. And remember I gave you a meditation last class, or the first two classes. I read this and I really like it. There's something called abhava, non-existence. And there's something that's non-existent forever, and that's our knowledge. And therefore, we're suffering. So somehow or other, we're moving in the world, and it kind of has an effect on us. This is what the law of karma is. The law of karma is God sees our ignorance and creates certain situations tailored to our ignorance to teach us lessons, to help us get over it. And this is happening since time immemorial, and then at a particular time, a little space of vulnerability or acceptance or humility that wants you to seek a guidance for your life beyond your own ego and desires. You actually start to think there's some truth that you want to follow and you want to surrender to. And when you open your heart in that way, or you have that desire, then Krishna arranges sadhu sangha. And it's such a long journey, and that's what's significant about this class, that somehow or other, that opening is there. And it's so rare. Is one verse that's described, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti. You're wandering not only from universe to universe, but species of life and species of life until that moment happens. Until by God's will and perhaps your receptivity, they're joined together and you get an opportunity to meet people who represent timeless truths. And you become inspired in your heart to guide your life by those timeless truths. So that enthusiasm to be connected to something higher than your own whims, that's so favorable to devotional service. That spirit, I want truth. And how many people want that? If you watch the modern things and what people are talking about and political, how many people actually have that character, that they actually want truth and they want to live it? Most people are expedient. What's not important is truth. What's important is what they want for their own desires. So that kind of enthusiasm to be connected to something higher than our own desires, and I always make the point, it's not that our desires cannot also be truth, but they're not truth because we desire them. There's something else that makes them truth. There's a universal truth. And that kind of humility to be guided by authority, not just the person in position, but truth that's represented by a person who's qualified because he studied the truth, he's understood the truth, he's applied the truth, he's realized the truth, and wanting that. And that type of humility, that type of enthusiasm. So that's the second thing that's favorable. Go ahead. This is just a nice quote in that regard. Eagerness should always be to serve the wishes of the highest plane of Krishna bhakti. That is very, very rarely to be found in the mundane world. We shall be eager to catch the telegraphic language of the highest plane. We must try to catch that and be subservient to that. That should be the nature of our quest and utilization of our energy. That enthusiasm is, and even I coined this phrase. I sometimes joke that these things are copyrighted and I sue people who use them, but we all get them from someplace else. But destiny is the language of God. And when you're in a particular circumstance, there's a message. And if you go to a mentor, someone who has studied the science of destiny and studied the sacred texts, which are a compendium of karmic circumstances, and really want, what is the message that God is giving to me? And wanting to follow it, even if it's difficult. And it will be difficult, because the truth does not conform to our attachments and desires. And to get over that, that my enthusiasm can only be for my attachments and my desires. That's a spiritual person. That's a saint. And that's what we want to become. Think of any saintly person. Any saintly person. They don't move simply by their desires. They don't see the world according to their desires. Gail, what's a person called who sees the world only by his desires? A narcissist. Yes. Because I can't. Can I tell you why I'm asking you, Gail? Because I still can't pronounce it. So it makes me look good, right? I'm just kind of deferring to you. But actually, I that's why. But that type of enthusiasm. Next verse. Next comment. And this is very interesting. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha or enthusiasm. What it means is is enthusiasm is not just for spiritual practices, but it's how you engage with the whole world in a spiritual way. And that doesn't mean renunciation. It means just how you use different things, including your attachments. So enthusiasm, this quality of bhakti that's one of the favorable things, it's not just in your practices. It's how to see things intelligently and how to use them in God's service. Even the things that you are attached to. And the next one, and how do we get this enthusiasm? From the sadhus and saintly people and the scriptures. This verse here, Shushusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katarachi Syat Mahatsevana Vipra Punya. Oh, twice born sage, by serving those devotees who are completely freed of vice, great service is done. By such service, one gets affinity or enthusiasm for the messages of Vasudeva. One gets enthusiasm for bhakti. This is this verse comes after another particular verse. It's at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, where all these progressive verses of how you advance in devotion are given. And then it gives what's called a tasmat verse. Tasmat in Sanskrit means therefore. It gives the conclusion. And the conclusion is always the same. Therefore, chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna always. So then the question will come, well, that's a little bit tough, isn't it? Always? Always? Without stop? And then the question is, well, if you're not at that platform, then how do you get there? How do you get that affinity, that bhakti, that devotion in your heart? And then this verse comes. Because when you associate with saintly people, when you see the qualities of humility and selflessness and sacrifice and devotion and fixedness in guru embodied in someone, it becomes so attractive. And then you start to think, how do I become like that? Right?
Because that energy is so it's magnetic.
It's magnetic, yes.
Because that's the way positive energy is. Like it attracts others, and you can't help but not ignore it, because it just penetrates you.
All you need is love.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, what happens is, if you think of any of you people, how you came to come to Krishna consciousness and sustain in it, it's by the people who represent it. And I can tell you, one of the things that people like Raghunath and others have done very, very beautifully, especially, you know, his teacher trainings and different things, he would introduce people to what he thought was the best of bhakti and the people who exemplify it. And that gives us enthusiasm, appreciation, and then we want to be with them. Okay, the next verse. And so the qualification for bhakti is not gyan. It's not your analytical ability. It's not karma. It's not even your material piety. It doesn't mean you're born in a high family or Janmaishvar, Shruta, Shribya, learned, educated, caste, anything. It's simply your enthusiasm. That is the only qualification for bhakti. And this particular verse is very beautiful because it says, if you can get that, then there's one price, and that's greed. And what is greed? Beg, borrow, or steal. That's greed. Beg, borrow. In other words, you have to get it. This should be your greed. I have to get this enthusiasm. That enthusiasm itself, this is what it's talking about. This is what's favorable to bhakti, which will come from the Association of Saintly People. This enthusiasm, I want this because I value it. I've experienced a drop of it. I must have it. Now, the interesting thing about this verse, and I'm going to tell you a little something really kind of historical about it, is Prabhupada, the term Krishna consciousness, that was a term that Prabhupada made, right? Because he was now translating the tradition into another language. So he was translating the tradition into another language, so he had to give words. Like he gave a word, sense gratification. It's not really an English, you know, he just gave different words. So this is where Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Krishna consciousness is a translation of the top line. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavato mati. It's the mindset of your mood of devotion for a relationship with God, with Krishna. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the International Society for developing a particular mood and relationship of love for Krishna. Okay. And this is how bhakti is built up somehow, this enthusiasm. Okay, next one. Patience. And basically what this means is it takes time. Bhakti takes time. You shouldn't be frustrated when the results don't come immediately. Prabhupada gives the example here, a very practical example of a woman wants a child. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. It develops. But also, this tolerance or forbearance or patience is because you have so much appreciation for the goal, because maybe a drop of it has come in your heart. You have so much appreciation that any trouble, difficulty, or austerities on the way, you understand is a little price to pay for it. When you are getting something valuable, then you work hard for it. And the difficulties in it, you will tolerate. So this is what this forbearance is. Patience is everything. Those who possess the quality of patience are called sober. Due to lack of this quality, man becomes restless. Those who are impatient cannot do any work. They cannot become successful. Well, again, how do you become patient? The process is you have to hear. And when you hear, you develop faith. You develop faith in the goal. And when you apply the practices, you'll get some experience. That's it. How do people last? It's not that, next verse. We should not think our path will be very smooth. We should rather try to see that insults, poverty, unfavorable things are coming. If you're really confident, you have faith in your brightest future, then whatever small price nature wants through these miscreants must be accepted. So our experience is the payment. And the payment will also develop our sincerity to get it. And for those, the video will be on, because Ruti wasn't here, we couldn't transfer it. But if you missed the class last week, the video will be on. And I did a one-man drama. Who was here last week? Okay. It's amazing drama, wasn't it? A one-man drama on this point that a person that I had met wrote in iambic pentameter, Shakespearean drama. Okay, and keep on. This verse, this next verse, this verse is so important. It may be the verse that Prabhupada quoted more than anything else. Because what it says is when you have this patience with understanding that what is happening to you, that one of the six qualities of faith is that whatever happens to you is best. And when you are in devotional service and when you follow spiritual principles, you get this realization that what comes to you is for you. And when you tolerate it for that reason, but not only tolerate it for that reason, but bow your head in thanks for that reason, which this verse says, then it becomes a rightful claim. The word is dayabak. Dayabak means you inherit it, just as the child is the rightful heir to the parent's fortune. You inherit the kingdom of God simply by this. By this quality of forbearance. What is coming to me is for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because what's coming to you is to offer you a fruit of realization that will be an essential component for you to come to a higher level of consciousness and happiness. And when you live your life in Dharma, then you realize this. And next verse, of course, this exemplifies that type of forbearance. And when you have that kind of humility, when you have that kind of humility that I'm not entitled, right? But what comes is mercy. Then you can develop love. Someone just sent me a video of this child who got this gift from a parent. And the child, it's a very poor family, and the child opened up the gift, and it was a simple wood cutting board. And the mother said, "You can help me cook." And it was like an 8-year-old child. And the child just went and just hugged the mother and kissed the mother and thanked the mother so much. You know? In other words, the child had love because of that forbearance, that tolerance, that acceptance. The child had love. Without that, you don't have love, right? Another child opens it up. "This is all you give me?" And then there was another box, another gift, and he opened it up, and this poor family, it's the wrong thing, but anyway, they gave him like a little tablet or iPad, and the child opened it up, and just he just opened it up, began to weep uncontrollably, and just went into his mother's arms, just like with such gratitude. So here, tut tut karma pavartanat, you have to follow. Utsahan, you have to have enthusiasm for authority. Again, not just someone sitting on your head, but someone who represents truth and things that represent truth. Enthusiasm, I want that. Then, the next one, forbearance and tolerance. Whatever's coming is best. Next, then confidence, nishchaya. And this is very, very similar. That same thing in one sense. The tolerance is how you act when things happen, and confidence is what your conception is. And your conception is, this is God. I'm confident. Not God, but I will be protected. if I do the right thing, auspiciousness will come. And I just want to make a slight point on this that I've been thinking about a lot. Is that a little hell, brimstone, and fire? We're all going to face death. And everything's going to be taken away. And you have to have practice. You have to have practice in your life to see God and be confident in His will. By experiencing His will, by surrendering to His will in difficulty and seeing the fruit of His will, and having a life practice of actually seeing God by following, by responding in the appropriate way, even if it doesn't give you that advantage, but seeing that actually it is, and actually therefore seeing every circumstance, you can actually develop this consciousness that every circumstance that comes is for you. Because if you respond to it properly, you will get a fruit of realization that is worth the experience you had, no matter how difficult it is. And when you live a life like that, then when death comes, you say, Vipata Shantu Tashatvat Tatva Tatva Jagat Guru. Queen Kunti made these beautiful prayers. She had so much trouble in her life, you can't imagine. But God was there. Krishna was her nephew. He was there. And after the war, he's about to leave because he's done his duty. And she said, let these calamities happen again and again. Because in these calamities, you are here. So that confidence, and then Sangha Tyagat, the next one. And we discussed this extensively, that there are always ideals, and then there's the practical situation that you apply them to. And we talked about several ladies here, their husbands are not the same faith, but how the relationship nourishes certain things they need and how you apply things practically in the world. But you understand the principle. And we'll understand it more today, that we reflect the qualities of the people that we're with. And that's an important principle to keep in mind. And I discussed this one extensively, so you can listen to the last class. Next thing, I'll just tell you one story with Prabhupada. Did I tell the story last week? That this great saint wanted to see Prabhupada in his last days. He was named Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji. And I saw him many, many times. And he would chant 24 hours a day. And he was probably the greatest Madanga player in the world. And his kirtans, I wish, maybe next class I'll bring you. I have his kirtans. You can't believe what it's like. And he would always be chanting. Now, I'll just tell you just one story. I went to him, and he used to stay in one of the temples in Vrindavan. Radhanath Swami, also, that was one of his main influences. So I gave him Prabhupada's biography in English with some people. And then I came back a week later. I never knew that he spoke English. Because if you'd ask him a question, he would only answer it with a verse from the Shastra about the holy name. And he knew thousands of verses, but he would never learn another one until he realized the one he was practicing. So we went to see him, and we gave him the book, and we said, Babaji Maharaj, what did you think? And he never really spoke to me. He said, it was wonderful. He had like British accent. It was wonderful. And he said, you know, when your Guru Maharaj took sannyas, I was there. Sannyas is the fourth order, social order, where you make complete renunciation. So Prabhupada, at the age of 58, he took sannyas. It's a whole story. So he was there. And it was a little temple, and there was only about four or five people there. There weren't many people. He was one there. And the way it works, is that the priest is doing mantras and decorating things and lighting fires. And when he does the mantra, the kirtan goes down. And then when he's doing mantras, then the kirtan goes down. And then when he's preparing things, then the kirtan goes up. So sometimes there's kirtan, he goes kirtan, and he's doing a little thing. And then sometimes he's saying, you know, okay, stop the kirtan now, and then he chants mantras. So Krishnas Babaji is telling me this story, that what happened is, and this is the way he said it, and I was there, it was so charming. And he said, you know, when your Guru Maharaj took sannyas, I was there. And he said, you know what I was doing? And we all went, yes. He was always chanting. So he said, what happened is, at a particular time, he said, in the yajna, Prabhupada was sitting there, the fire yajna, the priest said like this, stop the kirtan, because I'm doing the rituals. And he said that Prabhupada went like this. And then he said to us, I'll repeat how he did it. He said, and then I knew he'd be the leader of the Hare Krishna movement. So, he was at the door in Prabhupada's last days. So the door was locked, and then one of my godbrothers said, I think it was Bibi Govindaswamy, you can go around the back. So he went around the back. And then he went in there to look about in 20 minutes, a half hour, what was happening. And Krishnadas Babaji was sitting on Prabhupada's bed because Prabhupada was very sick. And they were laughing, and they were joking, and they were just loving. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, Tandara Charana Seva Bhakti Janivas Janame Janame Hoy E Abhilas. That's a famous song that says, I want the association of the pure devotees life after life. And when that song is sung sometimes, they have this thing, Tandara Charana Seva Bhakti Sanivas Janame Janame Hoy E Abhilas. Hey Abhilas, hey Abhilas, Tandara Charana Seva, hey Abhilas. Hey Abhilas means I desire, I want that. And at the same thing, a satyang, a favorable, is an association. It doesn't mean who you're with, it means more and more how you develop your intimacy, who you open your heart with, what are their characters, what are their values. And that will affect you. And you have to remember that in bhakti. And then I'm taking more time. what happened? I'm going to go whatever I have to say. And I wanted to say something because it says, a satsang tyag, a Vaishnava achar, stri sangi, eka sadhu, Krishna bhakti ar. So we have that here. Stri sangi, avoid the company of those who are not much materially attached, especially to women. So I'm just going to explain this point. In the culture, I guess the basic thing was understood, women were more emotive, and emotions affect judgment. And therefore, in the social structure, which had a decision-making process, it was more patriarchal. And in that particular time, women were more women and men were more men. It was just the karma. But here's the commentary from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Do not associate with women. On the other hand, when women is engaged in sadhana bhakti, she should not associate with men. So staying with the opposite sex is very inauspicious for the advancing devotee. So it means our intimacy and how we exchange. Now, I just wanted to share with you Just an interesting commentary by Prabhupada. Okay? An acharya who comes for the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype, for he must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. Sometimes jealous persons criticize the Krishna consciousness movement because it engages equally both boys and girls in distributing love of Godhead, not knowing that boys and girls in countries like Europe and America mix very freely. These fools and rascals criticize the boys and girls in Krishna consciousness for intermingling. But these rascals should consider that one cannot suddenly change a community's social customs. However, since both the boys and the girls are being trained to become preachers, those girls are not ordinary girls, but as good as their brothers who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Next one. Therefore, to engage both boys and girls in fully transcendental activities is a policy intended to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. These jealous fools who criticize the intermingling of the boys and girls will simply have to be satisfied with their own foolishness because they cannot think of how to spread Krishna consciousness by adopting ways and means that are favorable for this purpose. Their stereotype methods will never help spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, what we are doing is perfect by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for it is he who proposed to invent the way to capture those who have strayed from Krishna consciousness. So you'll see with Prabhupada that he always strongly presented the ideals, and sometimes in a very, very heavy way. But in practice, he applied those ideals. So if the ideals are lost, then you can never apply them properly. So he spoke very, very heavy about ideals. And then his practical application was such. And that's just an example of it. And then the last thing. Satobrite, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. This is called anugata. Go to the next one. Only faith can guide us there. We are travelers in the intimate ocean. In the Bhagavatam are the footsteps of those great personages that have traveled on the way, the broad line chalked out by the footsteps of those who are going to the divine world. Only that should be our surest guide. So there's a path, and there are people who have gone ahead of us on that path. And they leave their footsteps. How Krishna consciousness is executed, and not, the point's going to make, not only how it's executed, but how particular people execute it. You don't follow how the sannyasis executed it. They have different rules for the people that are in the world and that are married. And I gave the example too. It's nice. I was giving this same class to the people in Colombia, and Kastuba went down there, and they appreciated him very much. But one thing they appreciated is they could identify with him because he's a person who's Krishna conscious and is in the world. So they can see how one moves in that way. So this is what satobrite means. Very important. In Krishna consciousness, we follow. The path is we can't see always, but we can have faith in people who are on the other side, and they can tell us what the steps are. And then next one. It says, not just by dry logic. This is a famous verse. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. We follow the path of Mahajans, of the great souls. It's not a speculative path. There are great souls, there are great authorities. And in the Bhagavatam, they're listening. Who are the great acharyas? Who are the great teachers? And we follow them. Next verse. Ruti, next one. If one strictly follows the advice given in this verse by Rupa Goswami, namely being in... Wait. This is not it. Go to the next one. What's the next one?
That's the last one.
Well, go back then. Okay. The footsteps of the Mahajans are only hope. Mahajan Yenikas. We have to depend on that only for our relief. Their footsteps are like so many lighthouses to guide us across the infinite ocean. And the Bhagavatam are the footsteps of those great personages that have traveled on the way, the broad line chalked out by the footsteps of those that are to guide us. So this is so important. Exemplars, people who followed, great acharyas who set the path, people who are in similar circumstances. That's why I think it's so great to have people like Mother Rukmini, Gauravani's mother, people who practice Krishna consciousness as a lady and know what perhaps are the challenges to them and how to move in that way. She's giving a class here called Urban Devi, how ladies can move forward in Krishna consciousness and their challenges. So these are the six things. Okay? Whoa. You got them down now? Right? Six things so important for enthusiasm. Tut tut karma pavartana. Disciplined according to what is the path? What are the practices? Utsayan. Enthusiasm. Four, following truth. Sometimes you ask, how do you find a guru? It should start in the heart that I want to know what truth is and I want to follow that. And the concept is that God in the heart hears that and then sends someone to represent that truth to you to follow. But it begins with that enthusiasm. And our advancement is the level that we have it. I always remember the story of this great saint in Vrindavan. He's so learned. And he was 90 years old. And they took him to the doctor. And his disciple took him to the doctor. And they just saw that he was just so submissive. Just because of that samskara. He just wanted truth. So he felt this was a medical authority. I will follow the medical authority. So really enthusiasm is, where are the spiritual authorities? And I want that. And it's difficult. But that desire should be there. And that's it. So now, we'll go to the next one. And I think what I'm going to do is the same thing. I'll go a little fast. I may cover it more depth. I'm a little bit behind in that way. But was this okay? Getting it down, repeating these things again and again, so you actually learn what they are. Okay. Now, 11 core practices. Okay, let's go. This is actually, should be lesson 4. I made a typo when I sent it to Ruti. Okay. Oh, he corrected it. I'm very submissive to my technological gurus. What a beautiful verse. Ruti, next one. Six ways in which we can exchange love. And the point is here is recommending to develop that intimacy with people who have Krishna consciousness. Because these open up conduits for transference of heart. And that's what intimacy is. Intimacy is the heart is exchanged. So that's how we advance. The heart comes to us. I was listening to a class in Vrindavan, and
there's
a great story about this pilgrimage where there was one person who was his service was to take care of all the people, and they were going from Bengal to Puri, and you had to go through Muslim areas, and they were conquering India at the time, And every place, you had to arrange for where people live, where people eat, you're paying tolls, you know, getting, it was so difficult. But he did it. That was his responsibility for God. That was his seva. Part of saving him, humble, his humble service. That's how this person, who was a manager and a businessman, would remember God. So somehow a dog joined the party. So he gave shelter to the dog. And he instructed, you know, his assistant to feed the dog every day because the dog was going along. The assistant forgot to feed the dog and the dog disappeared. And he stayed up all night. He couldn't sleep. Because a cultured man, when you have responsibility, you take it seriously. And you don't deflect it to others. Well, his fault. He felt responsible. And somehow when they reach Puri, this dog was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating coconut and throwing it to the dog. And the dog was kind of like barking like Haribo, kind of. I've seen this. They imitate it. And then the next day, the dog wasn't there and it went back to Godhead. So it gave the example that when you take shelter of someone and someone gives shelter and you actually take shelter, just think of a child that really loves their father or loves their mother and takes shelter of them, then you get the mercy of that person. So simply because the dog took shelter of a devotee, he got the mercy of the devotee. And the commentary, one person I was listening to said, we should act in a way that the heart of a saintly person melts, because then everything will come out. So that's bhakti. You act in a way. So these exchanges, so much can come into us in the path of bhakti by exchanging in the proper way with our peers, but especially with those who are advanced in spiritual life. Next verse, Rati. In this verse, Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. In the previous verse, Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. Everyone is looking for a community, and they want to see a community that's based on love. So this is really what ISKCON ideally is, and this is really what we're trying to do in the Bhakti Center. See a place that's based on these principles of giving and sharing and taking. And then Prabhupada in the next verse, Prabhupada's purport, he says, these are there in any common interest. These are how people will share. If you're doing a business deal, Prabhupada said, you'll have these same exchanges. So he explained in the first verse that bhakti is very, very intelligent, that you control your urges. The first verse is about controlling your urges. And you remember, it gave three ways, or we discussed three ways. One, when you're connected to a sadhu and a mission, and you spend for that mission of goodness and sharing, spirituality, then the urges were like an energy. You won't have... The only energy you'll have left to spend on yourself are for your needs and the things that you require. And the other thing is, it said that you should transfer that energy because it's there. We can't stop these things. What you do is you transfer it to spiritual ways. So here's community, then spiritual community. So the people who want to exchange love in community have a community whose ideals are not, you know, the Bilderberg group or the Heidelberg group, or, you know, their ideals are not to control the world or to get some territory, you know, but their ideals is to share love with others. And though that kind of community is needed, and that's what Prabhupada wanted. And the best sangha is with advanced devotees. And again, we mentioned sadhu sangha, associate with saintly people. If we can associate with those who are more advanced, that's the best. Not always, because we, you know, but it should be an objective of ours. You know, people work in the world and they come to me sometime. I got so much work and family and things. I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera. No excuses. Look at Kishori. Four kids. They're listening to the classes. So, but you know how difficult it is. But if there's two things that I would recommend for someone who is so, their karma may be such, I think the people are here maybe a little bit more fortunate in ways. They may have some lives that maybe made themselves a little bit more free, or maybe it's a stage of their life. But if I would recommend two things for a person, I would always say, go to as much kirtan as you can and seek out sadhu sangha. These two things would be the foundation of moving forward in any circumstance. So, and sadhu sangha means more advanced, like-minded, and affectionate. More advanced, like-minded, and affectionate. And why affectionate? Affectionate means relationship. Because bhakti is about relationship. So that should be there with teachers. Say Something Tay, too, is, you know, I know Champak since she was 12. And her mother brought her to me. And there was a little crisis in her life because she was aspiring for one guru, and he really inspired her at a very, very young age. And he was a godbrother of mine. He was an amazing personality. I mean, the way he would chant these Krishna bhajans, you can't even believe, and his philosophical acumen. And he was from New York, but he was in Moscow. And he was preaching an influence, like it's just like here, it's like the Bhakti Center, what he was doing, such good people he was doing. And then unfortunately he passed away. And then her mother, who I met in Govardhan, brought Champak to me. And you know, we developed that relationship in that way. But I was thinking, it even says in the Shastra, what if your guru leaves? Then what do? It says you need sadhu sangha, right? So here was a circumstance that she gave her life, and then, you know, the person was gone, and she was only 12. So she, what do? That what that happens? And it does happen. You need sadhu sangha. And so what does the Shastra says? What is sadhu sangha? It says specifically, you have to find someone who's more advanced, like-minded, and affectionate. We can have a relationship. Because that's the conduit by which bhakti comes. And next verse. And Prabhupada credits this principle. He credits this principle with how Krishna consciousness spread by these type of exchanges. And I'll tell you a little story there. Is somehow at a particular time I went to this place to live, which was ridiculed in ISKCON as a place that was so nowhere that they never could understand why people got this place. And it was considered the biggest mistake ISKCON ever made. We had a skyscraper on 55th Street and was 10, 11 stories. It had a theater, a restaurant. And somehow or other, the person there thought it was a bad neighborhood because it was 9th Avenue. Now, and when they had this meeting, there were only two people that voted against selling this building. One was Kasturba's guru, who was so smart, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He trained Kasturba. He was so smart. The other one was Kirtananda Swami, who initially got this place. And it maybe some, you know, he had some problems or whatever it is, but he was a very practical-minded person. I remember his comment at that meeting. Because he developed this new Vrindavan in West Virginia. So he said, well, he said, if they went to West Virginia, I don't know why they won't cross 9th Avenue. So, but they got this place in New Jersey. And they did different. They got a kids camp up in... a kids camp up in upstate New York, and they got this place in New Jersey, and then they got this building on 7th Avenue that wasn't suitable, and they wound up in Brooklyn. And it was considered the biggest mistake. But I remember somehow I went out to this place in New Jersey, and Meena with Lakshmi Nisringa, and he became the president there, and I started a school for Shastra. And we really concentrated on these six loving exchanges. And in 3 years, we once made a list, 90 people came to Krishna consciousness when these loving exchanges are actually found and established. One of them was Gail, right? And it was really, and Yadunath, the famous comedian, and so many other people came. Now, okay, and Prabhupada said, this society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with the give-and-take policy, the society is expanding all over the world. And this is actually in modern, you know, management. You know, the culture is more important than the technology and knowledge. Everyone in every company, they know how to crunch figures. They know, you know, how to organize things and things. But it's always the culture. And the places that have the strongest culture are the places that become the most successful. And this is how you become most successful in nourishing your own heart. I know in Vrindavan that, listen here up front. I know in Vrindavan that at a particular time, my godbrothers were congregating, a few of us, and we really had this culture. You can never tell when you would get a spiritual gift. And the way the love was exchanged, and especially, we'll see in the different ways, but and next, is this in Bhagavad Gita, Sanjayate Kama, One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. So it says, jayato vishyam pumsa, jayato vish, whatever you meditate on, you become attached to. So it's just a simple psychological principle. And at this point, we're not going to cover today, but maybe we will. Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna consciousness is dormant. So if you are associating with people in whom it is awakened, it will come to you. And Prabhupada gave the example like a child walking. The walking capacity is in the child. It's not something that comes externally. When the child attempts to walk, then the walking capacity comes out. So it's similar in the process of bhakti. The devotional capacity is within one. And when he tries to serve, it comes out. And those people who have actually attempted to serve and are serving, that consciousness will come out. The innate natural consciousness. Prabhupada gave another example. He said, just like you'll see in modern culture, that if people don't have families, and then maybe there's just woman doesn't have children, and then she loses her husband, I guess in the modern world, or doesn't have one, or they'll inevitably get a dog. And Prabhupada said, because why? Because karma, because dharma means essence. It means the quality which cannot be taken away. So Prabhupada said the quality of the dharma of water is liquidity. If it's not wet, it's not water. The dharma of sugar is sweet. If it's not sweet, it's not sugar. What is our dharma? What is the quality which cannot be taken away in us? And that's to serve and love. And it doesn't matter if someone may be a mafioso, you know, but he has to come home to his, and serve his Italian mother. That is who we are. That is who we are. And the people who have awakened it in their hearts fully, Prabhupada said, by associating with them, that will come to us. And the next verse, Prabhupada quoted this. It's a famous verse, how bhakti is innate within the heart. And I have to say one thing here. This is a philosophical point. It may be too late in the lecture to really get into it. But, this point of bhakti being innate, I have to say, in the pure philosophy of yoga, as is in the Yoga Sutras, whenever I teach the Yoga Sutras, I say there's one point either I don't understand or I don't accept. And that's how all desires, agency, where action originates, is in the buddhi or the material mind and not the soul. That's what yoga literally says. It's all in the buddhi, which is material. And the point is, what's difficult to understand, if it is all in the buddhi, then, and we suffer when it transforms in a particular way, and we get liberated when it transforms in a particular way. But if the desires are not within us, if the will is not within us, then it's all happening by a third party. And it seems quite arbitrary. If we don't have the initiative, if we don't have the will, and it's just in the buddhi, and we don't have any initiative or will, then it's all arbitrary. Liberation or suffering, it's all arbitrary. Prabhupada's saying is, in the philosophy of bhakti, no, these things are within the soul itself. And philosophically, the reason why they argue that it can't be in the soul, because then the soul will be a changing and transforming and not one thing, and then it wouldn't be eternal. So that's they say, would be the philosophical problem. Then it wouldn't be eternal because it's changing or transforming. But the other problem is, if it's not in the soul, then how do we become liberated? It has nothing to do with us. So in this regard, completely separate from any question I ask, I get a verse in the mail from a former a student of mine who's a philosophy professor and also joined at that time in Tawako with Gail and Yadunath. And he sent me a commentary from a verse on the Bhagavad Gita. And listen carefully what this verse says. But anyway, I'm bringing out this point because Prabhupada's emphasizing it. He's saying it's dormant. And if it arises in the heart and it's awakened in those heart by the practice of bhakti, just like the practice of walking, the walking capacity comes out in the child. If it awakens within our heart, someone's heart, and you intimately associate and exchange with those type of people, then that spirit of service and love will come to you. How? By these six exchanges. By giving things and accepting things and giving food and accepting food. Bobby, I offered those delicious vegan, this morning, and I ate them all. After offering to Krishna, it was a perfect thing to energize me for the day. But these kind of exchanges, I'm trying to encourage you. Okay, so should we hear this verse? Desire, aversion, pleasure, and pain are produced by the field, which are called transformations. So he's saying they're produced by the field. What's the field? It's the body. So he's saying they're produced by the body, but says, although desire, aversion, and pain exist as properties of the self, atma, dharma, bhutani. In other words, they come out by the transformation of the body, but they exist in the soul. Desire, will, agency exist in the soul. According to this one, they'll need a body for it to kind of come out. Just like the car, you want to go someplace. You know, the car allows you to go someplace. But you're the one that is acting on it and making it happen. And it says, they arise owing to the self's connection to the field. So the sentiments may arise due to the self's connection with the field or connection with the body. But these states are spoken of as transformations of the field because they're produced by the field, but they're within the soul. So Prabhupada wants to make this point, and he quotes this verse, that bhakti is dormant. It's a very natural thing. And the purpose of life is to actually awaken it within our heart. I love that statement, that we're consciousness, and consciousness reaches its fruition in love. What else can be the perfection of consciousness? And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is that love. It's also the practice how to bring that love out of your heart. Yes?
What is the verse from?
13.6. It's the commentary of Ramanuja Acharya. I can send it to you. Okay? Okay, I can.
I have the comment. Okay.
Next. Giving something for the service of a sadhu and taking his prasadam, whatever he gives, we accept that. We can increase our attraction and love for a person in such a way by giving him raw items and accepting his prasadam. To give items to be utilized by him and whatever is necessary for ourselves. I won't try to take anything new, but only that which has been rejected by the Vaishnava guru, whether it is a garland, clothes, different decorations, or whatever. We shall try to live by the remnants of the Vaishnavas. We shall present new things to the sadhu, and we shall try to live by their remnants. Tena tyaktena bunjata, give and take. So, of course, he's a sannyasi, he's a sadhu, he's living in an ashram. He's very strict. He even told one story that this tree would give a beautiful kadamba flower, and Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was riding, was about to leave, and someone picked the flower and gave it to him. And he said, why are you giving me this flower? This flower should be offered in love and devotion to God. If I was here, you can give me the flower and I would bring it, but I'm leaving. So it's a really, it's a type of consciousness. And the consciousness is, and this is from the Isha Upanishads. It says, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagata. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and we shall not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So it's a particular consciousness. So we give, and what we accept humbly. It's like working for a loving master who's a very, very kind boss or master, and you live in their house, you know, they give you food, right? But you're humble. It's not yours. So a Vaishnav lives in that world with that consciousness. And therefore they accept things, but they accept it with honor, glorifying the kindness of the Creator in that way. So, and let me just give you an example of how this consciousness can be there. I was just thinking of Radhanath Swami. Now we see all his pictures over. He's having so many programs and, you know, and I'm just thinking, what is his power? And I think his power is this consciousness, right? And it's very beautiful when you see it, that everything is owned and controlled by God, and whatever I take as his mercy. And an example, I've been in Mumbai with him. I went to one house. He called me. I was getting a checkup at the hospital. He said, Marge, come, I'll send a car for you. So we go to this house. It'd be like going in the middle of Manhattan. And in the middle of Manhattan, there would be a house. So I go into this place, and then this person comes out. It was a very exclusive program. The people in the audience, there's about 25 people. They look like demigods. I mean, they were just so pious. They were like beautiful, but like you know, not beauty to please the world, not beauty to control the world. They were just so pious, these people. So what happened was, anyway, and then the person came out to me and he said, that was a nice class. Oh, I remember you were the guy that's sitting across from me taking prasad. He said, oh, that was a nice class. I like that point about Maharaj Pricker. I said, nice. So then when I leave, there's about five or six senior people. He gives an envelope. And I open up the envelope. I was sitting in the car next to Radhanath Swami. And I open up the envelope and it was like 15,000 rupees. It's not bad, right? $250 an hour just for sitting. I'm just joking. So I said, what, who is this guy? And then he says, this is such and such person. He's the 130th richest person in the world. So then I looked it up. I calculated if this man was, his interest was 5%, he would be making $150,000 a day. You know, I mean, it's like a lot of, you know. And then we went to another house, and like, it's just amazing. But when you go in the temple there, like even here, Radhanath Swami and myself, we live in the Brahmachari ashram. We share the bathrooms with the other monks. You know, it's a very, very simple room. I stay there. When he's there, I stay in another room. It's very, very simple. So the consciousness is that. And it's so spiritual. Things are gods. And I take my quota. I'm a monk. So in the Chopati temple, if you see him, he's in the Brahmachari ashram, but it's on the edge so people can come in, men and women, to see him. But he shares the same bathrooms. He lives on the floor. It's that kind of consciousness, right? Where what you get, you accept as mercy. And when you accept something as mercy, you accept the person you get it from as a
bestower of mercy, and you see the kindness. So it's actually accepting in the proper consciousness is bhakti, because it's honoring the heart of the person who gives it. So what we're discussing now is the dati pritagrinati. I didn't write it down. Giving gifts and accepting gifts. There's a very saintly lady in Vrindavan. I think she may be the most advanced soul in the Krishna conscious movement. Her name is Mother Srimati. Divyambar here is one of the few people who was very close with her. And, you know, she's very, very saintly. My God, her consciousness, if you go into her room and you just see her consciousness of what her room looks like, the paintings that she personally had commissioned of her heart and her spiritual aspirations. And she's an amazing person because she could run a corporation. She's so together. She used to be our guide in Mayapur. She used to take us to these obscure places. And then she would stay up all night chanting. Very, very amazing soul. But, you know, sometimes I get a knock on my door and there's like, you know, there's a book for me. Or there's, you know, there's some little special things, devotional items. So people who are saintly and spiritual. So maybe here's the one of the exercises you can do. Don't give me anything if I say this, because then it's like bribing me for a higher grade. But why don't you pick a spiritual person? I'm not saying it doesn't have to be, you know, with the monk or whatever. Pick a spiritual person and give them a gift. Pick a spiritual person and give them a gift. Give them, you know, some nice, you know, prasadam or a little gift or something representing Krishna. Try to do that. And what that does will open up the channel of your heart to their heart, and you will share in their heart. And that's one of the ways in which we advance in devotional service. And then next verse. Next one, Rati.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Okay, this is the Shikshastakam by Lord Chaitanya. He only wrote 8 verses that cover the gamut of Krishna conscious philosophy. And next time I'm here, the course I'll give next year will be on the Shikshastakam. And they're incredible verses. Chaito darpanam arjanam bhava maha devagni nirvapanam shrayakarayava chandikarnam vijyavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punam ritasvardhanam sarvatmastapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. This is the best gift. The best gift you can give to someone is giving them the holy name of Krishna. And the best thing, the thing that you can appreciate most is the person who gives this to you. Right? Again, I know some people came here from just, you know, at least a few I see here, or your Meena, you know, I think you had some nice stuff with Lakshmi Nisringa. Yeah. And he, what the most beautiful gift he gave you? He gave you kirtan. There were pictures. He did a program at your house. What a gift.
Another one on Friday.
Really? Oh, okay. Everyone's invited? Okay, find out. Where do you live?
In Montclair.
But what a gift.
Oh, my God.
Right?
And I crochet in hats all the time.
What's that?
I crochet in hats all the time.
Yeah, right. So I'm just saying. And what happens?
What you were saying before, it's like I felt so grateful that I always wanted to do something smart.
But what happens is, it's an exchange. And it's good for his heart and it's good for your heart. You know, because what you're appreciating in him ultimately is Krishna. Because he's representing Krishna. So what you're appreciating in him is Krishna. So when you give it to him, he's appreciating the gifts that he got. He's appreciating the gifts that he got. And later, okay, you'll come back. Okay. And then, so here's, and this is, we'll discuss this. It's incredible. Chaito dharpana marginam. Chaita means the chitta. Dharpana means the mirror. The mirror of the mind, dharpanam. It cleans the mirror of the mind. What can be a greater gift than cleaning the mirror of the mind? Because when the mind is clear, you see God and see yourself. When the mind is clear, all problems are perceptual. They're not actual. So when your mind actually becomes cleansed, then it's the greatest gift. Bhava maha devagni nirvapanam, and it extinguishes the fire of material existence. I read a commentary on this verse, and I really want to share it with you. It's a great story. There was one guru, and he had a little bit of an anger problem. So he was doing a fire yajna, right? And that an Agnihotra, and he would do the Agnihotra every day. So to get the Agnihotra, you need fire. And fire in those days don't mean a match. It means a particular type of wood that creates the spark. So he said, get me some fire. But it had rained the day before, and he couldn't find the wood. So he came back, and he said, where's the fire? He said, I don't have fire. The guru said, go to hell. So the person was so sincere, he went to hell. And he was very happy, because he saw in hell that everybody was burning. So he said, here's like all this fire. So he asked Yamaraj, the lord of hell, he said, I'd like some fire. Can you give me some fire? And Yamaraj said, there's no fire here. He said, what do you mean there's no fire here? He said, look. Oh, he said, oh, they brought their own fire. And what that means is, what is hell? Hell is your selfishness that flows through your heart. What is happiness? It's the love that flows through your heart. So basically, we create our own hell. But this will extinguish it. Because this will give you faith, not in conforming the world to our desires, but loving the world according to our hearts. So this is Bhava, you know, so anyway, it's and each one of these are the gifts. Anandam Buddhi Vard, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. So these are actually the gifts. And next verse. Now I'm going to go quickly, and then I'll cover it next week. And the gift is universal, because it's a gift that even animals and non-living and non-moving living entities can benefit from. So this gift is universal. What a gift! You can share it with every living entity. And that's where you can even share bhakti with your cat, dog or cats. You can share bhakti. Interesting story. Mm-hmm. Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, he was just so compassionate. He said, I have one anxiety. I can see that when Lord Chaitanya went to the Jarakanda forest, even the animals were dancing. But how can we liberate the trees, the non-moving living entities? So he said, you hear that kirtan over there? He said, yeah. You hear the echo from the forest? He said, yeah. He said, that is the sankirtan of the non-moving living entities. So you can benefit everyone. So the gift is universal. Next one. This is discussion, but Rupa Goswami, according to the Dadati principle, an advanced devotee is supposed to spend at least 50% of his income on the service of the Lord and his devotees. Practically applicable. this verse initially, and I told you sometimes Prabhupada preached principles very strongly. This was actually by Rupa Goswami when he retired from family life and joined Lord Chaitanya to become a renunciate. He went back home and divided his money. And he gave 50% for altruistic purposes of sharing spiritual topics and holy name. 25% he gave to the family, and 25% he left for emergencies for himself. But the basic principle, though, that you should extract is you should give. According to your means, you should give. And that purifies what you do. Not only purifies what you do, but it helps you. You see, when you take God's energy and you offer it back to Him, then you start seeing God's energy as God's. And the whole principle of illusion in this material world is you see God's energy as separate from God for you, and you lose the principle of love. So what karma yoga means is you take that energy and you offer at least some of it back to God. And therefore you'll see the world as God's, and it'll create a mood of love and service in your heart. And let's go to the next one quickly. I'm going to go real quick now because we'll cover these beautiful. Giving and accepting prasadam. Love means to please. You please people through their senses. And that means through taste, through sight. So bhakti means offering the best. And therefore, real exchange like this is not just higher than the physical sensation, is the emotional satisfaction of the exchange of love. Therefore, Prabhupada called the Hare Krishna movement a kitchen religion. Because sometimes in the stories of Lord Chaitanya, there's 20 verses, there's 20 pages describing the food people eat. The food that was given by a great devotee to Lord Chaitanya. So why? It's describing the love. The fragrance, the taste, the texture, the color is the love. So bhakti means that expression of love. And prasadam is such a powerful way to do it. And the next verse says, you honor it. When it comes to you, it's, you accept it as grace of God, and therefore you see God as merciful, and your devotion increases. And prasadam is very, very powerful when taken with faith. And I'll give you one story about this. And then I'm going to stop. There's so many more things to do, but I'm going to cover them next week. And I'll just say is, I have so much here, but I want to end with some exercise. So, you know, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, you know, Prabhupada had a short time to live, and he wanted to give God, love of God into the world, and he was pushing. And someone said, you know, we may have made mistakes, we may have been passionate, but we were fired up. And one thing is, it was so urgent that basically it was almost a line drawn. There was no congregation. Either you were in the temple or you practically weren't considered a devotee. And it was like an army. And, you know, whatever people got by that experience, it stayed deeply in their hearts. So what happened is in 1970, I met the devotees, and I got this bhakti lata bij, and I wanted to give my life. I even had propensities as a monk. But because of family militant opposition and my kind of desire not to want to have to go through that, I kind of put it off. which meant, unlike most Hare Krishnas, I actually got an education. I graduated. I was like 6 degrees from my master's degree. And then somehow or other, make a long story short, during the summer, a friend of mine who was my college roommate, he kind of allured me to go down there and visit him, and he was in a temple in Texas. So I was in the temple just visiting, and then Prabhupada came. And then they gave me some service, so I was painting one room. So then someone came down and said, Prabhupada is in his room, and he's going to give everyone prasadam. It means sacred food stuff from his hand. And he said, and all the devotees can come. So I was like scratching my head, does that refer to me? Because I had a mustache. And devotees meant shaved head and the cloth and everything. And here I was with a pair of jeans and a mustache. Does that refer to me? I said, can I come? He said, you can also come. He didn't say I was a devotee. So I got online, and I was online, and Prabhupada was sitting here, and it was a, and you'd come in like this, and he'd give you 2 rasgulas, and you would go out the next door. It was 150 people. So I was lying, and then I was just like, oh, I want to surrender. I want to give my life fully, but no, I can't. So it was this fight between the two voices, right? The Woody Allen in my head. So I want to make things relevant so people can understand. So there's these two voices in the head, you know, you can surrender and surrender. And then this verse came from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Because I was already studying. Mame Kam Sharan, Aham Tam Sa, Moshi Sami Masya. Don't worry. Surrender. Don't worry. No, but I can't. And it was going on. And this has gone on for 4 years. So I came, and I was like that. And Prabhupada gave me the prasad from the deities from his hand. And I bit into it. And boom. That was it. And that's what you see here. That was it. So there's something about mercy coming from God, and sharing that mercy with others. And what I'm going to do now, there's so many more beautiful points, but, well, there are. But we got the general gist, and next week I will cover the remaining principles. It's very important to understand these principles and how to. Let me just see if there's anything of, yeah, there's so many beautiful things here. Okay, what I want you to do now, because I didn't do this last week, take out a pencil and paper or something to write with, and I want you to do 5 minutes of free writing. And free writing means you don't put your pen down. What struck you? What do you remember? What hit you the most in the class? Don't look at books. Don't look at notes. Even if you don't know what to say, say, I don't know what to say. And what will happen is you'll continue to write. So begin now for 5 minutes, please, okay?
Okay, now just underline one sentence that perhaps you like the best that you wrote. Okay. Now break into groups of two and if someone's if there's an odd person out. Okay, you two can discuss when you get back, okay? Okay?
Okay, can I have your attention, please? Okay. Attention, please. Okay. Good, we covered another verse, and
I'm sure as we go on, we'll keep on revising the different verses, going over some of the things, so those, you know, those main points. And you see, especially a verse today, it's very, very practical. The only thing is, I'm such a good coach, but I kind of, the time planning wasn't so good there, because I really only covered half of the verse, and there are many, many points. Now, the next verse, because this, as you exchange with devotees, the next verse is going to discuss the levels of devotees and how you recognize devotees at different levels of consciousness. So we'll discuss that, and I'll think very deeply how to present it so I can get everything in on that verse. And nice to see these children just sit and take notes and listen, right? It's great. They're all 3 9-year-olds, triplets. And they say come every week, and it's so such a pleasure to see them. Okay, so I will see you all, or see most of you all. You all.
You guys.
I'm trying to be a little Southern culture.
Okay.
So we'll we'll meet again next week, okay? I really appreciate anybody that's coming. It's the basic principle. I feel gratitude that you're all here. Allow me to speak. And I'll start tomorrow morning at 1 o'clock working on the next verse. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.